Spiritual growth always begins with a healthy root system. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell continues in his series on becoming rooted and grounded in Christ.
If you're going to grow something good, you got to hate weeds. And sometimes you wonder, Pastor, why do you preach against, you know, flirting on Facebook? And why do you preach about, you know, being careful about HBO? And why is it that you're always saying stuff like, you ought not to hang around the old beer-drinking crowd? Why do you say that? Listen to me. Because a little Canadian thistle can ruin your whole field. That's why.
We live in a shallow and uprooted society, but as Christians, we can be firmly rooted in our relationship with Christ. In our series, Rooted for Growth, we will discover the nutrients we need to remain spiritually strong. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you don't have a healthy spiritual root system, then every part of your life is impacted negatively. Through today's scriptures, we will explore what it means to be a rooted Christian who is growing in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called A Rooted Heart.
I believe there is an application in these four types of soil for all of us who are saved. Listen, I've known some people who with a fertile heart received Jesus. But then someone hurt their feelings, and then the one church did this, and the one pastor did this, and so-and-so's a hypocrite. And pretty soon, those who had the fertile heart to get saved, they have a hard heart all of a sudden, and they're completely out of church, living like someone who never got saved in the first place. So while the primary interpretation of this passage is the unsaved man who never receives it, how many of you would agree there's a lesson for those of us who are Christians? Don't get a hard heart. Don't get to the place where you come to church and the sermon's just dropping on your heart like seed on asphalt doing nothing. Keep a tender heart for the Lord. And so the fowls cannot come in and take that seed. Hosea 10:12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, Hosea said. Break up your heart and receive the seed of the Word of God. The first kind of soil is the hard soil. Have you ever met somebody that's just hard? There's no tenderness at all. Their heart is very hard. Notice the second kind of soil that Jesus spoke about in this parable. That is the stony soil. Stony soil. Look at that in verse 5. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Now, in Palestine, in the Holy Land, there is a large amount of limestone and rock. And a lot of times, the little bit of vegetation that does progress upward is just kind of creeping up through a little rock here and there. And there's a lot of stony places in Israel. And when the seeds there germinate, sometimes they'll come up just a little bit, but then when the sun comes, they'll be scorched. They never truly, watch this, were rooted for growth. Never truly were in the soil. They were in a little bit of sand maybe, a little bit of rock, but never a true planting, if you will. And I believe this stony place conversion is that which is speaking of an emotional hearer. Somebody who had heard, maybe they got excited, maybe they went to a program, maybe there was a moment of emotion and they said something religious, but never truly were saved. Not saying they were even saved, saying that they never were saved, never were rooted in Christ. And then one of the tests of that is along comes the sun, and the sun in this parable represents the trials of life. And let me say very quickly, for a true believer, how many of you are a believer, a follower of Christ? You've been born again. For a true believer, when the trials come, though we may not like them, though they may hurt, though they put us in pause for a long time, when the trials come, if you're truly saved, they draw you closer to God. You start saying, Lord, what's in this for me? Lord, what do you want me to learn here? Lord, show me your word. And when the trial comes for a true believer, the roots go deeper in Christ. But for someone that just was along for the ride and the miracles and maybe said a prayer for grandma one time, when the trials come, boom, they're burned up and gone because they were like seed in a stony place, never in the Word of God. One man was talking to a farmer that grew corn, and the farmer said, "Boy, we've had 7 days of rain, and the corn has just been flourishing up, and it's been great rain." But the farmer said, "I tell you what, though, I'm a little worried, because if we have a week or two, and if this thing turns into a season with no rain and a drought comes," he said, "this corn is going to go right down with the drought." And the farmer explained to the friend that was talking to him. He said, "You see, sometimes with frequent rain, corn roots tend to stay toward the top. With well-measured rain and with a little rain here and a little rain there, they get the rain that's needed, but also the root system goes down. But with a lot of rain followed by weeks of no rain, because the roots are just right at the surface, when the drought comes, the corn falls down because the roots never develop." And many times you'll see a Christian who has experienced the rain of salvation and the rain of worship and the rain of fellowship, and God's given them a paycheck and God's given them a family and God's given them so many things. And then suddenly you'll see this person have a season of drought and trials and the sun scorching his life. And when someone like that says, "Forget it, I'm out of here, I'm tired of this God thing," it is sometimes an indication they never were saved in the first place. And excuse me, but there are people in churches all over America who have never truly been born again. They have never truly been rooted in Christ. And so we need to make sure that we understand that there are different kinds of hearts. And one is called a stony heart. And we need to recognize today the hard-hearted man, the seed just bounces off. And the stony-hearted man, he might give a brief kind of a view that something might have happened, but the first little trial comes along and indicts his fake faith, if you will. Notice the third kind of soil that Jesus talks about. This is an interesting one. It's called the thorny soil. Look at verse 7. "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them." Again, it looked like something might have been happening, but suddenly, boom, the thorns choked them. Look, if you would, at verse 22. "He also received seed among the thorns, is he that heareth the word, but then the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Here is a man who received some seed. There was some seed given. Maybe someone knocked on his door and gave him a tract. Maybe his wife was saved and invited him. Maybe a friend tried to tell him about Jesus. But he wanted to kind of have the seed and the thorns kind of all mixed in. He wanted to add Jesus to his God collection, maybe. He had Jesus, but he thought maybe you could be a Buddhist or transcendental meditation or some other stuff might work too. There was some thorns in the crop. That's what the children of Israel tried to do. In fact, look in your notes at Jeremiah 4:3. It says, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." Now, let me tell you what the thorns were for the children of Israel. Their thorns were the gods of the Canaanites. Their thorns were the groves with these false statues and with false gods. And they wanted the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they wanted to be in vogue. They wanted to have all the other gods too. And so the prophet said, "Hey, break up your heart, break up the fallow ground, and get rid of those thorns, because they're just going to choke out the real God." Make sure that you are not trying to mix in all of these ways and all of these false teachings. And I want to tell you something, friend. When there is a weed in your life, you want to make sure that it is chopped down. You want to make sure that you are not sensitive to chopping it away. Because even in the lives of believers, people that have truly been saved, sometimes the cares of this world will choke out their testimony. When I used to work on the farm in Colorado, every once in a while we'd be driving along and my uncle would see some Canadian thistle out in the middle of the field. And it has usually these little purple things on it like this. And I don't know why it is. Everything bad that happens to America, we blame it on other people. Have you ever noticed that? We have the Asian flu and the Russian thistle and the Canadian thistle. And he would say to me, Paul, see that right there? That's Canadian thistle. And he'd jump out of that Ford pickup, and I'd jump out of that Ford pickup with him, and I had my Wrangler jeans and my red wing boots, man. I was excited to be on the farm, and I jumped down in that red Colorado dirt. And he said, now come over here. He said, when you see this on my farm, he said, I want you to get down. I want you to pull this, and I want you to get it by the root. I want you to get all of it. How many of you have noticed you have to tell kids how to work? You ever told a kid to sweep? All they do is rearrange dirt. You know, they just kind of go around and make, you have to tell them, sweep three times and back up and sweep three more times. And then you go back, now hit that three times. If you spill Kool-Aid on a table, you don't say, clean up the Kool-Aid. You say, hey, go get one of the washcloths from that drawer. Don't get a towel out of mom's bathroom and get the washcloth wet. And you got to tell them how the whole thing works, or all you have is smeared around more Kool-Aid on your table later. And so my uncle was... He was very definitive in how to deal with Canadian thistle. And he was definitive about the fact you got to get it up by the roots, because you're not going to grow beans if you have Canadian thistle. And folks, out in Colorado on the bean farm, it's very important that we get rid of the Canadian thistle and we grow the beans and we send them to California so people can have burritos. That was the whole philosophy. That's how that worked. And I'm just telling you, if you're going to grow something good, you got to hate weeds. You don't have a good garden if you're tolerating weeds. And sometimes you wonder, Pastor, why do you preach against, you know, flirting on Facebook? And why do you preach about, you know, being careful about HBO? And why is it that you're always saying stuff like, you ought not to hang around the old beer drinking crowd? Why do you say that? Listen to me. Because a little Canadian thistle can ruin your whole field. That's why. Some of you are so silly, well, it's just a little purple flower. Let me tell you about this purple flower. The roots on Canadian thistle can go 15 feet in the ground. I've pulled them up 5 and 6 feet myself. Canadian thistle can cover more than, in one plant, 20 feet in an exterior area as they spread out. And in an alfalfa field, they have been known to cut the yield of that field by 48%, almost in half, if not dealt with. Your little purple flower that's just your old friend, and your little purple flower that's your little Facebook flirt, and your little purple flower that's just that thing that only you know about, if you do not repent of that sin, it will ruin your life's crop. And so the thorny soil is that life where a man is so involved in his sin. And by the way, this is why many people will not get saved and will not come to church. They don't want to give up their party-hardy lifestyle. And they have a thorny lifestyle. But the Bible says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's the kind of life you want to live. The will of God. Think about that one guy in 2 Timothy 4:10. The Bible says, Paul wrote, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He said, Demas looked good for a while. He rode around with me for a while. He was a member, if you will. But he forsook me because he loved this present world. He had that Canadian thistle just kind of taken over his life. You see, the thorny soil is a kind of soil that won't ultimately tolerate Jesus Christ. Now, so far it's been kind of like, wow, bad soil. Hard soil, stony soil, thorny soil. Well, let's close on a good note, shall we? Look at the final kind of soil. It's called the fertile soil, or the good ground. Now look what Jesus says, verse 8. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. So the fertile soil is good soil. And that is the kind of soil that receives the seed. And if you're saved this morning, then there was a time in your life when you had some fertile soil and somebody talked to you about Jesus and you received Jesus, and you ought to thank God that you've had a time in your life when you received Jesus. You ever try to talk to friends about Jesus, and maybe you go to someone's house, knock on their door, maybe a friend at work, and they say, get that stuff out of here. That's not for me. Weak people like you have to have a crutch, but I don't do that stuff. Don't give me that God stuff. Now, when someone does that to you, instead of getting angry at them, let me just encourage you. What you ought to do is say something like this to yourself: but for the grace of God, there go I. Because that hard-hearted response is the opposite of what you had when you got saved. I remember when I was saved, April 10th, 1972. A young man, yes, but a tender heart. And when that gospel seed was opened up in the form of the Word of God, it fell into my heart with a receptive response, you see. It found good soil. And I thank God that even in this hard world, there's still some good soiled hearts out there ready to receive the word. William Carey was a Baptist missionary, and in 1793, he went from England over to India. And he went there to preach the gospel and spread the seed. But he was having a tough time of it. In fact, William Carey, for 7 straight years, passed out Bible pamphlets, preached every weekend, and did everything he could to try to help people know Jesus, but did not have one person saved. And I imagine there was pressure on him. We would call it today the pressure to perform. You know, what do you write back and tell your supporters? Hey, we've been here 7 years. No one has been saved. You might feel like putting an L on your forehead, loser, right? But I got to tell you something. If you are faithfully doing what God tells you to do, you are a winner, even if the fruit isn't as much as someone else might have. It's required of a steward that a man be found faithful. And William Carey was faithful. But he wrote to his sister in England, and this is what he said. I feel as a farmer does about his crop. Sometimes I think the seed is springing, and thus I hope, but a little blast of air, and my hopes are gone like a cloud. They were only weeds which appeared, or if a little corn sprung up, it quickly died, being either choked with weeds or parched by sun. But I still hope in God, and I still go forward in His strength, and I still make mention of His righteous Son every day. That's what he wrote to his sister. And so finally, December 28th, 1800, William Carey baptized in the Ganges River his first Hindu convert, a carpenter named Krishna Pal. And when that carpenter was baptized, a friend of Mr. Carey's, by the name of Mr. Ward, wrote in his diary, "Ye gods of stone and clay, did ye not tremble when the triune God took one soul and shook from his feet each of you as dust?" In other words, God had triumphed, and finally, the seed had found good soil. I'm going to tell you something. It's not up to you and me to save someone else. It's up to you and me to spread the seed of the gospel. But praise God, here and there, it finds a good heart, and someone gets saved. Someone has their life changed forever. The good soil. But I want you to see, secondly, the fruit of the good soil. You see, this fertile ground, it's good soil, but it produces good fruit. Now look at what it says there in verse number, let me get back to my right chapter, what it says there in verse number 8. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Now what's the great thing about that? Is the great thing about the fruit so that we could say, wow, we had thousands in church, or wow, look at the new building? What's the great thing about fruit? Is it so someone can say, boy, their marriage is a lot better, or their kids are doing better? Is it so we can say we're doing better? Is that why we go to church? So we can say we're doing better? Why do we want fruit? Why should we desire more fruit? And I want you to see it in your notes, John 15, 8. And don't miss this. John 15, 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Now let's read that together. Ready? Begin. Herein is my, that ye bear. The reason that we want to see people saved and the reason that we're excited when something grows and goes forward is because God is glorified where there is fruit. And the ultimate mark of a genuine believer is that that good soil now is producing fruit. And I want you to understand this, that a believer in Christ will produce fruit, and his delight will be in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. Why? Because he is rooted for growth, and he is rooted in Christ, and his heart, like good soil, receives the word, and now he's bearing fruit. And where there was hate, there is love. And you see, God is able to produce fruit through his word in ways that we could never manufacture it. And so the good seed fell in good ground, and it produced good fruit. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 7, ye shall know them by their fruits. Let's say that together. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Ye shall know them by their fruits. So you take a sower with the right seed, and you take a good heart receiving that seed, and fruit is going to start coming out. Hey, you may not have 100-fold. You may have 30-fold. You may not grow as fast as someone else. That's not the point. The point is that you're growing and you're bearing fruit. And it's not for you. It's for the Lord Jesus Christ. And now with his seed and now with his spirit, you can grow the fruit of holy living, Romans 6:22. You have the fruit of holiness. You can sow the fruit of Christian character, Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. You can grow the fruit of praise, Hebrews 13:15, all for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just saying that when you have the seed in your life and it's in your heart, then you can grow the fruit that glorifies God. Many times, there's no fruit because there's no root, because no one has ever really received the seed of the Word of God. And if you're here this morning and you are not 100% sure that the seed has found good soil in your heart, maybe you know what the seed is and you know who Jesus is, but it's kind of like having seed on asphalt. It's never really taken root in your life. Maybe today this message has helped to plow up your heart a bit. And maybe today, for the first time in reality, someone in this room would come and say, okay, Lord, I get it. Your word is the seed. You died on the cross for my sin. I receive you into my heart, not mixed up with stony ground or thorns, but Lord, with good soil today. I repent of my sin and I receive you into my heart. And when a man opens his heart to Jesus, the Bible says that whosoever will call upon the Lord will be saved, and you'll be rooted for all of eternity. You will have a rooted heart. And if you are already saved, then learn from the parable of the seed that you, though you have had a fertile heart, beware of the thistle. Beware of the thistle. Beware of the pan-hearted heart like the dry lake bed at Edwards Air Force Base. Don't get bitter. Don't get choked out with the cares of this world. Keep a heart that's ready to hear the Bible every time it's open. Keep a heart that wants to have the seed.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you visit or live in Southern California, we would love for you to be our guest at Lancaster Baptist Church, Sunday mornings at 8:30 or 11 o'clock. Pastor Chappell will share a message of hope and encouragement you won't want to miss. You can find out more about our times and locations when you visit lancasterbaptist.org. As a companion to today's series, we are offering Dr. Chappell's newest resource entitled, Continue,
a biblical journey in personal discipleship. It's yours when you make a donation to this broadcast ministry. Continue is perfect for helping someone you love become rooted and grounded in God's Word. Each lesson includes a straightforward outline with support scriptures and is written so anyone can easily teach. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this resource for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-688-6329 or dailyintheword.org. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.